The 2016 football season has officially kicked off. Kinda.
Jet fans, did the New York Jets show you what they might look like this year? Jets football's back, baby.
NYJ. Couch Scouts. I'm your host, Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household was rocking.
And my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
No question, we're top five.
Top five dead or alive.
NYJ.
Couch Scouts.
We're one game in. We brought home the dub. Be excited about it. The New York Jets took a football field and came home with a win. Welcome, everybody, to the New York Jets Couch Scouts podcast. This is your host, Peter Antonelli, here with my co-host, as usual, Justin Schwendeman.
Hey, anytime the Jets get a W, it's a good day.
That's my point, exactly. We had a couple areas in which we saw exactly what we wanted to see. Jalen Marshall. We had a couple areas.
Jeremy Ross. Hey, I don't want to throw him away.
I will give you that.
He looked not only impressive on special teams, he looked pretty good on offense, too.
We had a couple areas that personally feel a little lackluster. But again, week one of the preseason. This isn't the end-all, be-all. These guys got a lot more camp left in terms of time to turn ahead.
The start of the season. Do we know who got the first stat of the season for the Jets?
Oh, my God.
That's right. P-Sack Love. Rontez Miles. First tackle of the season.
And ain't unofficially the first tackle of the season.
Whatever, however you want to look at it.
All right, let's just call it what it is.
Hey, he put the work in, and he showed it on national television.
How many more times are you going to be able to pump that here?
I mean, you got a game. I got it written down like five more times. I got to speak about him.
You got Rontez knocking out Romar Morris in an unpadded practice. Was expecting you to be coming off the handle with that, too.
Hey, he's got a lot of passion, man. He's got a lot going on.
Let's move on from
Rontez.
He's
got to show the world.
But where Rontez shines is where we're going to open up the show with. Special teams, man.
He's going to be our best special teamer. He might even be the captain of the special teams, man, the work that he puts in.
Brant Boyer has really gotten these guys to buy in to this fresh, new face special teams unit.
Rejuvenated.
That he's been brought in to run. And we went down to practice Sunday. Big thank you to that Jets fan media. Jay hooked us up with some tickets. We were lucky enough to be able to attend the event afterwards. Guys put on a hell of a show. They really did.
Yeah, we had a great time. Thank you, guys.
Had their host Kevin there. We were lucky enough to meet Rob Carpenter, old-time Jet, somebody who's got their hands in the show as well. It was really a good time, and just one last thank you. You really, really took care of the Cow Scouts over here.
It was a great time.
Where I was going, though, is we were able to go down Sunday, and when I tell you, you can hear this man's voice from wherever you're at on that field, Brant Boyer.
Oh, yeah,
man. He commands his drill.
He's so passionate. He looks like he wants to get out of there and tackle some players, doesn't he?
And what was impressive to me, guy played. You could tell he played. The way he moves, the way he talks, you could tell he played. But what was impressive to me is it's going to sound corny, but every guy looked like they were giving it 100% for an individual special teams drill. It was honestly impressive.
Yep.
He had guys getting beat and getting pissed off that they got beat. This is something we didn't see.
And I think the special teams group in general is rallying around this coach, and I think he's a great coach to fire them up, get out there, and run full speed, because that's what special teams about, is going 100 miles an hour and getting where you have to go, tackle the player, or you're blocking for players.
That's what football's about, baby.
That is true, but especially when you got an open field on special teams, you know what I mean? You're going 100 miles an hour down that field and hitting the first person you see.
Now, something we noticed, obviously, outright in the game was the big returns. You brought up Jeremy Ross.
To start the game.
You saw our boy Jalen Marshall with an even bigger return.
Looks very special.
And go ahead, I'll give you the floor for Tez one more time there.
Big block for Marshall, man. Big block. Biggest block of the game.
With his back.
And didn't even lose stride, just kept running.
That was what was impressive to me, honestly. And again, getting back to the effort that I felt was evidently shown. You saw guys catching up, trying to get a block for Jalen, trying to get a block for Jeremy Ross. It's a different intensity and a different type of aura that you're feeling around this team right now. And you're looking at the second year of a staff and a front office implementing their plan. It's really impressive right now. And it's hard to hear from the Couch Scouts, from Jet fans, but it's honestly the truth in my opinion.
Yeah, I think this is great to start the season off. It's preseason. But it's a great way to see that some improvement that we needed the special teams to improve. And the first game, they showed us a lot. They Brent Boyer had those guys ready for the first preseason game.
You even said preseason week one, it looked like they were coming after a field goal. You know what I mean? And
you
speaking of field goals,
you want to get into that?
Go ahead. Go ahead.
I don't think you want to talk about saving money anymore on the kicker, do we?
I don't. The lights were bright, and I hate to be one and done. And you know, that there's nothing that this kid, Ross Martin, could do now. I hate to sound like that. But when you see it week one of the preseason, it's enough for
your
me.
First opportunity as a professional to show everybody, show the world what you got, to interview for maybe other teams, wasn't a good interview, man.
The lights might have been a little bright for him. I hope for his sake he can continue to kick well through camp, and he can continue to try to carry that into the real game, because the kicking position in the NFL, much like the backup quarterback position in the NFL, there's a need out there.
Dude, definitely. And I think Folk, I'm not saying it's locked in, but Folk is a Jet. You know what
no,
I mean?
I feel like when you see Ross Martin come off the field and Todd Bowles have a little something to say to him, I feel like it's locked in.
Yeah.
You never want to think to a man that a veteran is going to sit there and smile, and Folk had to have a little bit of a moment.
Either way, I think Todd Bowles is a veteran kicker kind of guy. You know what I mean? He wants somebody back there that knows what they're doing. He wants somebody back there that's not going to get iced in November when the ball is hard at MetLife to kick that ball through the uprights 40 yards.
Overall, did you feel like you noticed a difference in speed on any of the units, anything in particular? And again, I know this is a very, very small sample size, but it's what we're here to do. We're going to break down this. We're going to talk about a little bit of the Redskin game, where we see things going.
Where I want to start is we're still on that bend but don't break defense. We started the game off giving up yards, letting them score, you know. We're still on that. We're bending,
good, young,
but we're not breaking.
It's a good, young, athletic offense you were going against, too. You got to remember that they get paid as well. But I hear you. For the dominant unit we expect us to be, you hope to not see that throughout the remainder of the preseason.
I hope that Ivory comes back to MetLife and not run all over us like he did to start the season.
You can't say run all over, but I hear you.
He was not. The offensive line was blocking well for them, though. But again, that's our most dominant piece is our defensive line. And they did not show up at the beginning of that game. There was holes. Ivory was running hard like he always does, looking at his pressive. I just think that's the one thing that I want to see is less bend.
Of course, nobody's going to argue with you there. I wanted to see our defense come and go three and out. But you're talking about the fact that we had to bend, but we somewhat didn't break. Look at some of the catches Robinson's coming down with. Marquise Lee's coming
down
with.
Those guys are freakish, man. Allen Robinson's freak. I don't want to get on the Jacksonville Jaguars, but he is freakish.
They have quite the core there. I actually thought about Hackenberg as I'm watching the game. What's it like for him looking across? It's got to be a moment for those guys. You know what I mean? They had a big moment against Michigan. The long pass Robinson brought down, but it's got to be something seeing your boy across the field and you're both in NFL uniforms.
Yep, that's,
you know,
awesome.
What I mean?
Yep.
Knowing from where you come from, the work you put in, and that's what this is about. That's why a lot of people had something to say when the Hall of Fame game got canceled, but, these guys can make up the reps. This might be the only time some of these guys have an NFL uniform
ever.
So it's nothing to us, and we scoff at it, but this is a moment, and this is an opportunity for a lot of guys out there.
Yeah, but if we want to get into the defense, Leo, the big cat, oh my goodness, he had a sack this game. He looks like an animal.
And when we break down last episode, the Mo episode, what our defensive line could look like in third and long situations, imagine that's Mo on that center. You know what I mean? Leo can go do what he does. I mean, it's just the versatility that these guys bring is going to be something. We're looking at a team, as you're saying, bend but don't break. We're looking at a team that doesn't have arguably their best defensive player right now.
That is very true. That's very true. And it is first week of preseason. So, you know, I don't want to get too much into that bend, no break, but that's the first thing I noticed into the game.
I feel like a lot of the bliss of him being re-signed is kind of shielding people to realizing that he's not out there with them right now, and not in a negative light. This is the right thing they're doing. I truly believe that. Same way they're babying Forte. I said it last episode. I'm not worried yet, and I'm really not. It was nice to see Forte out there on Sunday. Shoulder pads, obviously trying to get a little bit more sweat than the rest of the guys. He knows he ain't going through team, but it was good to see him at least running without any hitch. Looked good. I was happy to see that as well.
Yeah, so what I saw from the D, though, is again, Big Cat looking like he's almost rookie of the year last year, looking like he took a step this year, looks bigger, looks more powerful, looks faster, looks great.
Darren Lee flashed, Darren, and I know it's hard to say it and get validity behind it because it's the first round pick, but Darren Lee looked like what they hope he will become.
And listen, when we were at practice the other day, we got a chance to talk to him a little bit, and he said Jet fans will not be upset with the finished product that he's going to put on the field week one. And you know what? He's going to get a lot of reps, man. He's got that speed, and he's got what it takes. Aaron Henderson wasn't, you know, fully in full season mode yet in the first preseason game, and that's why I think Darren Lee got out there with the first team a little bit.
Yeah, big missed tackle early.
Yeah, so I think Darren Lee looks very impressive for his first game in the NFL.
Now, we were discussing some of the things the Jaguars did offensively against us with their weapons. How did you view, not so much the first one, but the second time D. Milner got picked on?
Same old stuff. That's
ball
to
skills.
Me. Oh, my goodness.
Ball skills. Is that what you mean by same old stuff?
Well, not even that. Just getting beat again. You know, we don't see Milner win. When do we see Milner win, you know? You don't see it a lot. If he did win once, as a Jet fan, you missed it, because how many times do you see him lose in a one-on-one?
Ryan Tannehill's sitting somewhere right now like, damn it. He threw him too.
Man, it's unbelievable that we hear all this good stuff in training camp about Milner looking good and Milner looking healthy, and then he comes out first game and he loses two balls. And
okay,
I'm not saying it was against
a,
it wasn't against
the rust he has to knock off. Let's think about the last time he played real football.
It wasn't like he was getting beat, though. You know, he wasn't getting beat. He got beat when the ball was in the air. That's where he was right on him. He was right on him.
That's why I brought it up. I actually felt, I mean, it looked like he had a big time cushion, but to me, he played the play fairly well.
Yeah.
He played the route fairly well.
But lost.
He didn't play the ball fairly well, though.
But lost at the end. And that's what matters to me. That's what matters to me. Like, if you got blown
Absolutely.
Out. If you got blown out off the line, okay, that's fine. We know who you are then. But when you're on him and you're giving up catches, it's just disappointing.
We both brought up Lee, but let's talk about his hot button topic, which was after the game. Special team sucks, quote unquote. And now it wasn't delivered that way, but that was the premise that was put out there via the newspapers.
What he's saying from that is, I'm not a special teams player. I'm out there to play on defense. I'm out there to show my face every play and make plays on defense. He's not there for special teams player. He's a first round pick, and that's what he's there for, to play defense, to take the starting role of Henderson eventually.
Though I agree, you're a rookie. It is your role to play special teams. Unless you're a quarterback, you're playing special teams, bottom line.
Pretty confident.
Now, where I feel like he was going with it is Darren Lee, big-time quarterback, high school. You already know. Let's probably a safety. You know what I mean? Goes to Ohio State, five-star recruit. You're not exactly a special teams player growing up when you're playing both ways, when you're the stud. So now he gets up here. If I remember the number right, he played 51 snaps. And part of that, special teams, filling in those gaps where he could be watering the horses a little bit.
If you're not a long snapper, you don't want to play special teams before the NFL. It's not what you're looking for. You're looking to play offense, defense.
You kidding me? Third day of triples, I put two over the punter's head because we had to put our shoulder pads and our helmet on. Everybody else got to just wear their helmet. I put two over the punter's head, got thrown out of practice, walked away with a smile.
Talk about old times.
Special teams does suck, but you're a rookie. You got to do it. And I feel like deep down, he does know his role.
Oh, no. I'm pretty sure that he's a humble guy, man. He seems like a very good guy. I'm pretty sure he knows his role in the NFL right now.
Now, touching on the linebacking core, anybody else pop to you, not stand out enough for you?
I think Lorenzo Mauldin looked, obviously he didn't show us a lot, But he's a nonstop motor, man. Still, that motor is still going in his second year. I'm excited to see what he has. Jordan Jenkins, I didn't see much of him. He did start, though. So they must see something if they don't want to put Trevor Riley on the opposite side.
I got something that surprised me in terms of he did start, though, when we get over to the offensive side of the ball. Sticking with the linebackers, Freddie Bishop to me. Guy who's starting to come on as of late in practice. Flash just a bit. Jordan Jenkins to me, getting his feet wet, another rookie, totally different than Lee. I expect Lee to flash the way he did because he's in a little bit more of an open space type of position. A guy who can use his athleticism. As you saw when he had the nice tackle for a loss, he actually dipped under the offensive lineman that was coming to get him. But he was quick enough to dip under, avoid the block, and get back into play and make the play. And to me, for 232 pounds and all the flack he takes, that was a nice stick.
Man, he looks like he's got more than he's got.
It was a nice stick. So kicking back out to the outside, you brought up Maldon. Again, the mode is great. When he gets off on the snap, he looks beautiful doing it. But I hope he can carry that weight that he added on in the offseason properly.
Sometimes he looks a little weak when he's trying to bull rush.
No, not weak. Sluggish to me.
To me, it's more weakish because he gets held up at the line by the left tackle, you know, and then he's got to make his moves. And that's what kind of player he is. He's a guy that's going to get, you know, caught up, use his
non-stop
hands and dip under or rip or swim. You know, that's his moves right there. I wish I would see a little bit more power in the bull rush, though, because I think when he gets that in his career, he'll be unstoppable.
Kicking up to the D-line, just while we're talking pass rush a little bit, I know where you want
to
go.
I want to take it to a backup player.
Little surprise here, because you haven't heard his name much on the Couch Scouts podcast.
I don't think anybody knows who this guy is. Shelby Harris.
Everybody knows him now.
Backfield like 3 or 4 times. He looked like he had a motor. He was a big guy. He was getting back there. He missed a sack, but he got a hand on him, man.
That was the sack Lee got credited for, right?
Yeah. And if you're trying to make a team, you're trying to impress right there. That's impressive to me. He was very impressive. And Deion Simons should be a little bit worried that this guy who's been in the league before might take a spot.
I disagree because of the position they play. And that's the only reason I disagree. If we wouldn't have picked up a Jarvis Harrison in the offseason, I can absolutely see a spot for Shelby Harris on this team. Tell me where he fits, though. And I hate to put it that way because you never want to say that preseason doesn't matter, camp doesn't matter. You can't say that. But you bring up Simon being a little bit worried. He's a nose to me. You got to have a backup nose. So you're looking at McClendon, you're looking at him, you're hoping they're grooming him for the future. Now we're kicking out to the DN and D tackle spot. Somewhat interchangeable in terms of depth, but where does he fit?
Do you think if he comes out the rest of these preseason games and impresses like he impressed the other day, do you have to drop this guy? Like, is he interviewing for the rest of the league? What's the reason he's here if he's impressing and not going to make this team?
This is the classic, it's a numbers game. You did everything you could do for us in camp. You gave us all you had. Sorry, this is how it worked out.
I think McCagnan and Bowles are looking for players to... We're a win-now team, like we've been saying. We have too much talent on this team not to be a win-now team. Maybe we didn't want that, but that's what we are. So if Shelby Harris is impressing for the next of the preseason, for the rest of the preseason, excuse me, you have to find a spot.
Just tell me where.
You got to find a spot,
man. I'm just asking
you
to tell me where, though. Because the conversation that is our new elephant in the room is, do the New York Jets carry 4 quarterbacks in 2016?
And maybe that's where it is. Maybe that's the decision at the last week that we make, Shelby Harris.
You're telling me right now you're willing, today, forget the rest, what you saw... You're willing to cut Bryce Petty for Shelby Harris?
No, not today. Not today. I can't do that. What I said was... If he impresses for the rest of the preseason, how could you not? If he's getting in that backfield 3 or 4 times every game he's out there, how could you not have that player there? How could you not bring that?
Because in reality, me and you had a little thing a couple episodes back on. That's what I want. I want open competition around the board. I want the best players playing. And I said I want to know who my leader is at quarterback. In reality, there is 3, maybe 4 spots on the majority of NFL teams that are truly up for grabs in a training camp. Unfortunately, due to Muhammad Wilkerson, Leonard Williams, Steve McClendon, Sheldon Richardson, the money we spent on Jarvis Jenkins, it's not at the defensive line position for the New York Jets.
I know, and that's what makes it so crazy, is that this guy reminded me of maybe a doozable, you know, getting in that backfield when he didn't have a lot of time.
Body type as well, to a T. I could see that.
And, you know, doozable was out there, and he was the utility guy, and he was getting play. He would make plays for us, and that's what I saw in Shelby Harris last week. Obviously, we have to see this next preseason game against the Redskins and then against Philly, and, you know, it's just we have to see what's next for him. But as of right now, he impressed me, and I don't think he's going anywhere right now.
A guy who impressed me that I was lamenting the fact that I did not bring up on the last podcast, Justin Burris. Me and you talked personally about the reports you hear coming out of camp, the fact that, of course, he's getting beat. But the fact that this guy is hanging with an all-pro wide receiver in Brandon Marshall, the size we loved.
Oh, love the size.
Overall, both height and weight, where he's coming from, the defensive scheme that they favor at NC State. We both were in favor of that. Everything you've heard has been positive in regards to Justin Burris. You saw a little bit of what he lacks athletically in a handful of plays on Thursday night.
And I think that his speed, his weight and his height affects his speed in that way. And he's young, and he'll gain that over the years in the NFL. But as of right now, he's a big body that sticks with receivers.
A big body corner who's not afraid of getting physical.
And those are the guys I love, those big body guys.
How do you not?
Love it.
How do you not?
I love when you see freaks like Brandon Marshall, big body guy that has speed, has hands, has talent.
Don't want to sit on it too long, but just because of the conversation we're having, any potential of maybe a move to free safety?
For Burris?
Yeah, down the line. Down the line, you know, you got to look at a guy in a fourth round pick. You got to get return on that asset.
I just think that it's a little early saying that just because, you know, we don't even say that about That's Revis yet. Say, yeah, we don't even want to talk about Revis doing that yet, you know.
I'm not talking about him not working at corner by any means. I'm just talking for the build and the gameplay that we're talking
My
about.
My answer would be I would have to see him in a regular season game, get some playing time, and then I would make a decision on
it
that.
It goes Justin Burris. We figured, why not? We put on the game in the background here while we're recording. Bang, Rontez Myers.
That's how it's done, baby.
I'm telling you. It was nice to see us have a return game. Go ahead, though. Get back into the backfield.
One player on the defense that I want to talk about real quick that had a lot of time when the backups came in was Bruce Carter, somebody who's been in this league before.
Were you surprised how much he played?
I was not surprised, but I was surprised how much you saw him. He almost had a pick in this game. Obviously, he's not a receiver, so he doesn't have hands. But the ball came right to him. He jumped right up, almost caught the ball. I think that you saw a lot of him. And for somebody that's been in this league, played for the Cowboys, had some time with the Cowboys, I think that he's a player that you have to look for. And he's not... He's going to be there to the last cuts, you know. I think he's a player.
I think Bruce Carter's on this team.
Oh, do you? Okay.
And we talked about it when we were talking about breaking down the roster with the 90 heading into training camp. And we said right here, Bruce Carter backs up David Harris on the strong side, where he fits better on the weak side. Naturally, in terms of his play style, he's backing up Harris on the strong side because we drafted Darren Lee and we still have Henderson. And when you've seen what happened when they gave David Harris the day and Carter stepping in and everybody tweeting, why not Lee? Does this mean Lee's progression? Absolutely not. Carter's had problem with the knees.
And he's a veteran, too.
He's
man.
A veteran. You got to figure he's no longer the 4'5", 40 linebacker he was coming out of North Carolina. So there's no reason why, maybe he lost a step. Okay, put him in the David Harris position, and now he's a superior athlete again in a 3-4, get your hands dirty and bang with an offensive guard type of inside linebacker position.
Yeah, I think that if Darren Lee's taking that, if Darren Lee's taking that weak side, you got Bruce Carter taking the strong side. I think he impressed us in that strong side this week. I think that he showed us that he can back up David Harris.
That's the type of talent we used to have starting across the board on our roster.
Yep.
Now we're talking about our top two guys coming off the bench out of position. It's exciting.
I was very impressed. One more defensive player I just remembered. Your guy. Middleton.
That's where I was going right now.
There we go,
I'm
man.
I'm sitting here a little, because you stole that there, and I couldn't be happier you went there. Wasn't a play that he made, per se, but I love that he got to ice the game. And somewhere I want to go off of Doug Middleton is Deion Bailey. Did you see what went on with Deion Bailey at practice this week? Taking the shoulder pads off, taking the helmet off, cursing at coaches, had to have a long talk with his defensive backs coach after practice. It took veterans such as Marcus Gilchrist and a leader of our defensive backfield in Calvin Pryor to get this guy to take the practice field. How does that not put a bad taste in a coach's mouth?
And you know, the coaches liked him. That was one of their boys, you know what I mean?
Yeah, supposedly part of his ranting was they're not even giving me a chance here.
Yeah, they're not giving you a chance because there's two other players that are better than you, buddy. That's how it's done.
Forget better than you. You're on the field. If you got beat in the rep, you're getting an opportunity. Make the best of it. Make the best of your mental reps.
You might as well file Titus Davis right out the door, man. Quit football, buddy.
We got a couple more of them, believe it or not.
Unbelievable.
I was very surprised by the overall number once I really looked at it. Mikey Mack has pulled off 28 transactions since the first day of training camp.
He's squeezing it out, baby.
But where I'm going with this, you just brought up Titus Davis leaving camp. We had wide receiver Chris King not report. We had a defensive end in Christo Bilucchetti, is how I'll pronounce it, who was brought in, signed, and left the team as well. I mean, are we that talented? I'm kidding.
Yeah, we might be. We're a win now, baby.
But a couple more roster transactions that we had going down throughout the week. We had Julian Obioha, who we released waived injured. We actually brought him back on the IR, and they released Kendall James, the corner, off of IR, which I was a little surprised about. I don't know if there's some type of little loophole with how many guys you can place on there during training camp, but I didn't really see a reason why they would have took him off. He was removed, so he now becomes a free agent. Lake Seastrunk, guy who had a nice little college career. Running back brought in because we are nicked up right now. We talked about Forte. We're still waiting on Kyrie Robinson to come back. And our lower level guys in Dominique Williams and Romar Morris. Everybody's getting nicked up at that position. So we wound up bringing in Seastrunk. We also wound up bringing back Terry Williams, who we had signed earlier and then released for, I believe it was Matthew Tucker. We got a defensive tackle in Jake Serezna. Again, another pronunciation there. And they waived Anthony Kelly to make room for him, who they then brought in when, as I said, Chris King didn't report. So a lot of transactions going down, burning and churning the back of the roster. Just Mac doing his job in reality.
Yeah, man. I think he's squeezing it out all that he can. I think he's doing a great job. Like I said, the two-headed monster, him and Bowles. But let's get into the offense, man. We haven't even talked about the offense.
Bring it up. Go ahead. Where you want to lead off?
Let's talk about this wide receiver core, man. How impressive are they?
You want to bring it there again right out the gate.
How impressive are they, man? This is the most talented wide receivers I've ever seen as a Jet fan. Obviously, I'm a young Jet fan, and I haven't seen much.
I want to agree with that.
I've never seen this. You know, for me, Braylon and Santonio were the most talented. Jericho on that team, yeah. But we got Brandon. We got Decker. We got Devin Smith, who's not even out there yet. We got Jalen Marshall. We got Peak, the young guy who looks like a great route runner, by the way.
Big body to be a
good
route runner.
Oh, my goodness. We got Robbie Anderson almost making a touchdown catch in the back of the end zone. That's a guy that's probably not making a team and looks impressive.
Robbie Anderson's an impressive young ball player. And we brought him up when we were going through both our undrafted class and the wide receiver depth chart. This is a guy I think sticks. And I'm not talking 53, unfortunately, because much like Shelby Harris, where do we fit him? But this is a guy I really think sticks around the practice squad and is fighting for one of those last wide receiver spots on the 53 next year.
Temple guy.
Big body guy. That's what I'm more worried about.
Say, Bowles,
you look
at
our receiving core. You said best group I've seen ever. Biggest size I've ever seen out of our receiving options in the passing game.
I didn't know Jalen Marshall was as freaking fast as he is, man.
Everybody's worried about the combine. Oh, I'm sorry, the pro day 4.68. Everybody's worried about what he's running on a track. Put the tape on. This kid, he wasn't the weapon they hoped he would be at Ohio State, but they really felt he'd be there this year and they'd be able to still work with that.
And the one thing I wanted to pull away from what I saw, and I was watching him on the line, he doesn't get touched off the line, man. He's quick off the line than anybody in the league, man.
It's the start of your route. It's one of the most important part
right.
is you get off.
He's very impressive. I'm very excited to see what he has. And his return, he had a big-time return with the big block from Tez. Man, he's got a lot. He's showing us a lot. He's showing us a lot.
Do that for two more weeks, and you'll be out of that Philly game quite quick.
That's what I'm thinking, man.
I'm thinking, talking to that Philly game here, I'm thinking that's Hackenberg's game. I think he plays the second, the third, and the fourth quarter of that game.
You know, I was sad. We went to practice on Sunday. We did not see Hack throw the ball once.
Oh, I seen him throw the ball. I wasn't upset that he didn't get a team rep, though.
Yeah, I just wanted to see him, to see what he had in there, just a little bit. You know, I guess they're cooking him. I have no plans for him to start in the next year and a half. I'm just saying I would love to see what he's got with the team.
I was keeping an eye toward the back when the quarterbacks, because that's where they put the big nasties, never put the defensive line up front for the fans to see. I was keeping my eye toward the back, and I watched Hack drill one through the net. Little square right in the middle, nice drop back.
How big is he?
Clearly looked like the future.
How big is that guy?
Big boy. And the thing I took away most from practice, when I took the picture, I looked at both ears and said, that's the shot for today. Hack on a knee, attached to the hip of Ryan Fitzpatrick. And it's everything you want to see. Number one, from a young quarterback. Number two, from a guy who potentially may need him not only this year, but next year and the year after to help him grow in this league.
Getting some Harvard knowledge right there, man.
You want to talk about a guy who can really tell you what it's like to come up and stick around in this league? The ups, the downs, the contracts. What hasn't Fitzpatrick experienced or seen in this league?
He's getting his graduate degree, man.
You talk about the relationship that they have with Petty, watching the kids. And Fitzpatrick has come in here and done everything you hope a at-one-time franchise quarterback does toward the tail end of his career. He never really had that type of prime, and it wasn't here with us. But better late than never on both ends.
Yeah, he's doing great. I love watching the quarterbacks in practice this past Sunday. I loved seeing Bryce throw a touchdown to Amaro.
Best play of the day.
And then run down the field and give his players some water. That's a leader right there.
Best play of the day. Bryce took a step back, delivered on a line. And I say on a line over a linebacker, and it may sound silly, but the ball was on a line over a linebacker, underneath and in between both safeties. Jace caught it on the run, never broke stride. Took it about 70 yards to the house. The place went nuts.
Yeah.
Place went nuts. One thing I did see with Jace while we were at practice, and this goes back to the effort of the 90 men from top to bottom of the roster. He looked like he actually had an interest in trying to block. That was nice to see for me.
No, definitely. He's got to learn how to do that, especially if he's going to be on the line. We all know we don't want that other guy out there, so...
Yeah, let's talk about Kellen Davis, though.
Oh, my
How about
goodness.
Those coming out and just basically ascending Kellen Davis to the top of the tight end depth chart?
Upsetting. Very upsetting. It's the one thing I don't agree with Bowles about is the blob of no talent going out there and being the starter. I don't understand.
That's rough.
Sorry.
I like it.
Have you seen the picture? Did you see the picture in the preseason? Did you see his face? Did you see his offseason picture?
You know a face I was very surprised to see out there starting? I shouldn't say very surprised, but just on everything you hear, you thought Brent Quale would have got the first nod at right tackle. Maybe it's a experience with the team, experience in the league, veteran nod. I don't know. But if you told me, no Breno, who's your right tackle? It's Brent Quale to me.
Yeah, they don't think that, though. They think Olajuwon is where it's at.
Olajuwon, a dream, baby. Ajulana. And I was also nice to see Dakota Dozier in there at left guard for James Carpenter. But I was surprised to see, I was surprised to see Ajulana get that nod.
I think Dakota Dozier is totally the utility offensive lineman. And I think he plays every position, and I think he's going to be a solid backup for us.
Over Wesley Johnson?
Yes, definitely.
Definitely.
Definitely. Definitely,
okay.
Definitely our utility guy who plays backup to every position.
Mangold's a guy that's got nicked the last couple of years. You don't go with that guaranteed experience at center?
I just think that Dozier has more talent.
Oh, absolutely. And is going to I think he has a higher ceiling as well.
Yeah, and I think that he's going to be more solid than Wesley Johnson is.
Now, staying at the line... Jarvis Harrison, will there be a return on this investment?
Who?
It's generally nice to not hear an offensive lineman's name. That's kind of what you're looking for. But in terms of a young guy, an investment that got cut, was on a practice squad. You brought back. I want to hear this kid moving people. I want to hear some type of positive report come out, and you don't hear anything. And when you're lucky enough to attend a practice, you don't see anything that stands out.
I can't say anything more than what you just said. It's unbelievable that we haven't heard this guy's name, nor have we seen him. We haven't seen him. He's Shell a big body, right? Me. We should see him.
Shell stood out to me. And what did you say when we were at practice about Brandon Shell?
He has the perfect body for a right tackle. He has an unbelievable... He's got a God's body. He's got a God's body. I'm telling you. I am very excited to see what Shell has, man. He has the... He's not overweight. He's not too big. You know, some of those guys are too big.
No, but I do feel he needs a year in an NFL weight program.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I think you see that mostly in his legs.
And I think that in his legs, though, that you should be a little bit excited because he has that, you know, who's that left tackle from Dallas?
Tyron Smith.
He's kind of got that body, young body of like that right there.
You better back up on that comparison.
I'm just saying he's got those legs. It looks like they can be as quick feet, man.
I feel his feet are what needs a little work right now, but we've said it time and time again. There's more than enough tools there to work with. I was just impressed with his build, and he holds his pads well. Some guys don't. He holds his pads very well. Rounding out the offense for week one, it was nice to see a couple big plays. It was nice to see the interior line get some push.
It was nice to see a W.
Perfectly put. Would love to get another W this Friday.
2-0,
Washington
baby.
Redskins in D.C. What's something you're keeping your eye on? Something you're looking to see improvement from last week or just flash that didn't last
week? I have a list, okay? I want to see Jeremy Ross and Jalen Marshall go at it again. I'm excited to see who wins that battle right there. I'm excited to see Quincy keep improving because that guy is going to get a ton of balls this year. I'm excited to see my man Tez go out there again and be the MVP once again. I'm excited to see Folk again take the line and just destroy Russ and just take that. I'm excited to see what Petty has because that's my thing. Is Petty good enough to take the two spot?
Did Petty show you enough Thursday night to say he should be in that argument? Because Bowles was very quick to come out and say, Geno's number two. There is no competition right now.
Even though that we all know that I am a Geno fan.
No.
He does not show me any more than he already has. It's
live bullets.
It's, for me...
Live bullets, bro.
Man, it's disappointing. And I like Bryce, and I got nothing against Bryce, and Bryce is really showing it. So I got to be honest. Bryce looks like he right now he should be the number two.
No, I can't get on board with that.
I've said
Geno's had a down camp, but to me, Bryce would have had to light this training camp on fire for me to get behind you on that end of that argument that strong. I just like what I see, and it's what you want to see. I personally feel if the Jets do not select Christian Hackenberg, I think people are talking about Bryce Petty in a whole different light right now. But whether you're on board with Hack as the future or not, you're almost supposed to be ready to move on from Petty. And I disagree with that, just like I said last week. I want to see Petty come out. Maybe instead of 7-for-14, give me 10-for-13. You know what I mean? I want to see that next step to the point where it's not even a conversation. We have to carry four quarterbacks.
He just looks the most consistent. Again, Geno starts off slow like he always does. And Bryce comes out there in a first preseason game and shows us his consistency.
He brings a little bit of juice with him when he comes in. And do you think you see Hackenberg? Because I feel Hack is going to bring a little bit of that to this offense as well. With just his physical tools and what guys want to see, does this kid have it? A guy will play a little bit for that. You think we see Hack at all on Friday?
No.
I think we see him in the fourth quarter.
I don't think we see him in the third game. I mean, the fourth game.
Okay, good. Yeah. I don't think you see him in the third at all. I think you're going to see a split of Geno and Petty in the fourth quarter of that third game. I think you are going to see him for a series or two this week. And like I said earlier, I think playing Philly... locally, a chance for the kid's family to come down, have it be a comfortable environment for him. I think you're going to see a lot of Christian Hackenberg week four.
I hope so. I'm excited.
I'm looking forward to it very much so.
Jets football's back, baby.
Guys, look out. We got a couple interviews lined up. Some exciting stuff that we got coming your way for week one and throughout the season. We're looking forward to it. We're one in. Got another one coming this week. 1 week closer to them G-men.
That's right, baby. I'm excited, man. Ron Tez, you keep showing us what you got, baby.
I knew you'd get one more in there. Well, listen, till next week, Jet fans, want to thank you as usual for tuning in. This don't happen without you. You keep listening. We'll keep bringing it.
Jet fans, give us a follow on Twitter at NYJ Couch Scouts. Leave us a comment or your questions and look out for our prizes and giveaways.
Big shout out to our producer, Gio Garcia, as well as our co-founder, David Schwendeman. And a biggest shout out to you guys. Make sure you keep looking out for us on a week-by-week basis here. We're going to be bringing it to you. Till next week, Jet fans, let's get one.
Catch us next week, Jet fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast. Audio of the free.